Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all. I wonder if in the lead up to Christmas, some of you saw a card which was on sale. At the bottom of the card, there was a picture of a like a vintage car with three ladies sitting in it. The caption on the top read, "If there had been three wise women, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, delivered the baby, cleaned the stable, cooked a casserole, and there would have been peace on earth." I'm not even sure that's legal anymore, but it's quite fun, isn't it? Today is Epiphany, the day when we remember the visit of the wise men. It's a story of a journey. It's the story of a pilgrimage to meet Jesus. And we're going to use the opportunity that that presents to explore our journey into 2024. During the course of this, I'm going to leave some spaces for each of us to have a time of reflection. And what I would like is for those to be our own. It's not a time of sharing, it's very much a time of reflection. And if you're one of those people who really loves to share, then can I suggest that you do it afterwards, maybe over coffee or whatever, rather than in the middle. Do you have a dream for 2024? Do you have hopes for 2024? I imagine lots of us have plans of one kind and another. Maybe somewhere where we want to go on holiday. Maybe some gardening project we're planning, or whatever it happens to be. But what I want to think about this morning is, where are we going with the Lord? What are our dreams for our relationship with the Lord through 2024? If you like, when it comes to this day in 12 months' time, where would you like to be with the Lord? Or maybe actually there's a better way of asking that question. What are God's dreams for each of us? For each of us as an individual, as well as for us as a church corporately. Because I think that God does have a dream for each of us and a dream for us as a church. Traditionally, there are three wise men, although the scripture doesn't actually tell us how many. We have no idea. Neither do we know where they came from, except that it was from the east, so possibly modern Iraq, maybe Persia. What we do know is that they had come some considerable distance, maybe around the 1,000-mile mark, which struck me as being an awfully long way to go on a camel. And they'd gone all this way to find a newborn king. It was a journey which would have been costly in terms of time and energy and finance. And I do wonder if they'd got people at home when they left, telling them that they must be completely crazy to set off on this venture. But one of the things I like when I think about them is that they were on a pilgrimage. They were on a pilgrimage to find Jesus. And surely that is what our lives are about. We are all on a pilgrimage to find Jesus. Today, at the start of this new year, just as those ancient men had travelled and had experiences, so we too have travelled through 2023, but also through however many years before that. Last Sunday, when I listened to the recording of the service, it was lovely to hear so many stories of how God has blessed and answered prayer during last year. It was very encouraging. And an awareness, of course, that there were lots of other stories that were not shared. And I want now to take another few moments to look back, but in a slightly different way. and ask ourselves about the significant events in our lives of last year. Some of those will be good. Some of them will be more difficult. But we will have been shaped in some way, both by the things that happened and often more by the way that we have reacted to them. So I'm going to leave a pause. And what I want us all to do is take this pause and look back over 2023. And I'm going to suggest that each of us asks ourselves, what was good? What was difficult? What effects did the various things have on me? Where did I encounter God in the most profound ways? And have I allowed the events of the year to draw me closer to God? Or have I allowed them to distract me? So let's have a pause for a couple of minutes. I'm going to move on, but many of you might want to consider that after you continue that after you get back home. So having travelled, finally, the wise men came to Jesus. They finally found him. And we all love the pictures on the Christmas cards of the kings kneeling at the manger and presenting their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The reality is that Jesus was probably a toddler by the time they got there. But nevertheless, they came to Jesus. They gave him their costly gifts. They came in humility to worship. They stopped to gaze in wonder. They stopped. They ceased from activity. At the start of 2024, we too come to meet Jesus, and we too are going to pause in his presence. I was thinking about this, and I was going to give various pointers as to what you might spend this next couple of minutes thinking about. And then I decided not to do that. What I'm going to suggest is that you imagine yourself with those wise men coming into the presence of Jesus, kneeling at his feet. Just picture yourself in that scene. What is the Lord drawing your attention to? What is he showing you? I'm going to move on again, but again, you may well like to go back to that after you've got home and allow the Lord to continue to speak to you. Having worshipped, we are told that the wise men went home a different way. They did not go back the way they had come. They went back a different way. As we enter 2024, we too are moving forwards on our pilgrimage towards Jesus. But we don't have to go back the way we have come. We keep going towards Jesus, but we can avoid the dangers and the mistakes which have previously hindered with us and take with us the lessons we've learnt on our journey. I wonder if we can think of our pilgrimage as going home, going to the place where we belong, which is, of course, with Jesus. You might remember that earlier this year we looked at two of the parables of Luke 15. It's one of my favourite chapters. The lost sheep and the prodigal son. The shepherd, we're told, picked up the sheep and carried it home. He didn't take it back. The prodigal son, once he had stopped bargaining, was welcomed home. And his elder brother was given the opportunity to discover what it means to be at home. We are invited to be at home with Jesus. And we get there by allowing Jesus to pick us up and carry us. Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord, are the words that ring out to us from the book of Isaiah. If you've got a Bible there, you might like to open it at this point to Isaiah 40. It's page 723. These words bring encouragement and hope and a sense of security into the future. Isaiah chapter 40 is God speaking to the exiles in Babylon. And what he's saying to them is, I want you to imagine life with the possibilities which I am offering, free from the restraints of being exiles in Babylon. And so God says to us, I want you, each one of us here, I want you to imagine life with the possibilities which God is offering to you, to each one of us, free from whatever has restricted us up until this moment. And the question for each of us is, will we choose freedom? It's God's call to each of us. It's God expressing his dream for those exiles so long ago and for us today. God wants us to be free, released from the things of the past that hinder us, free to live as his people, free to love and serve him and enjoy him forever. It is an invitation to reimagine our life from God's perspective. I want us to say at this point that this is not to say that life is going to be without difficulty, simply because we have done that. It is not to say that there is an end to illness or sadness or anything else, but that we will experience God, Emmanuel, in the midst of life. If you turn down to verse 27, which I've just lost, verse 27 of chapter 40 is in fact a lament, as of course so many of the Psalms are. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? As my commentary pointed out to it, that same cry echoes from war zone refugees or oppressed minorities anywhere in the world from any age, including our own. I wonder today how many Palestinian Christians or Israeli Christians or Ukrainian Christians or Russian Christians or Christians from so many other places in the world are crying out that same cry. Isaiah 40 is generally taken to be the start of 2nd Isaiah, written towards the end of the exile in Babylon, where the Israelites had been living for almost 70 years as basically prisoners of war. Would you like to think back to what you were doing 70 years ago? Some of you weren't doing anything. Some of us were doing a little bit. So if you think of 70 years in exile, for most of them, it would have been their entire life. They would have been born in exile and they would have grown up in exile. The only life they knew was living under the constraints of being a prisoner of war in Babylon. Yes, they would have heard the stories of their people, but they had no first-hand experience. They didn't know what it was to go and worship in the temple. They did not have that experience. For the whole of their life, or the majority of their lives had been governed by the Babylonian Empire, and whatever that meant. But now, God is intervening. And what we see is that nothing and no one is going to stop him. And all that was asked of the exiles was, imagine life beyond these constraints. Imagine life, God says, as I want it to be for you. And those same words come to us. God says that he wants us to be free of anything which has held us or restricted us or limited us from being the people of God and experiencing all the blessings which he has for us. It's the most wonderful chapter of Scripture, and we can only skim through it. But it reassures us by reminding us of the greatness of God. We're given images in this chapter of him as a powerful warrior and as a gentle shepherd. So if you look down to verses 10 and 11, see the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. And then verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd and gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The mighty warrior, the gentle shepherd. And if we're to move forward into a future which is probably unknown to us, we need to know who we're trusting. We need to know that God not only can enable us to be free, but also chooses to do so. It, if you like, it's the outworking of the Christmas message of Emmanuel, God with us, no matter what. As you read through this chapter, if you go through it again when you get home, you'll see that we're told that God is so vast as to hold all the oceans in his palm and stretch heaven along his arm. He's so wise as to be beyond counsel or instruction. He's so strong as to weigh islands like dust on a shopkeeper's scales. And this is the God who calls us out of whatever our personal exile might be into his comfort and his freedom. He calls each of us to come home to a place of belonging. This is the God who invites those exiles and each one of us by name to leave the past behind and imagine life very differently, to imagine it through his eyes and to live it with his love and his power and the freedom which he offers. And at the end of the chapter comes the final reassurance of these wonderful verses. We might be weak and tired and weary and dispirited and whatever else we might feel, but God is not, and he will enable us. So we read the wonderful verses. He gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So did you know, Carol, you can soar on wings like an eagle? Did you know, Barbara, you can run and not be weary? Did you know, Giselle, you can walk and not faint? You might like to take those. I've just picked a few people. It was completely random before anybody thinks that was in any way a prophetic word or whatnot. It was not. I'd simply looked around the room and picked up one or two people. But you might like to go home and take those final verses of that chapter and pray them with your name in. It's an incredibly powerful thing to do. So back to where we started, really. God has a dream for each one of us, regardless of our present circumstances. They are irrelevant in one sense. He offers us an invitation to imagine life through his eyes and not be constrained by our past or even by our present, but to live in the freedom which he offers. This is his invitation for each of us for 2024. It's God's dream for each of us, and I hope our personal dream as well. So we're going to have our final few moments of stillness. You might like to invite God to give you his dream and his hopes. You might like to just listen to him or say something else, and then I'll pray. So Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are this amazing God. And Lord, thank you for this invitation to each of us. And Lord, I pray that you would enable each of us to understand what it means for us. That you give to each of us the courage to say yes to you. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.